Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And this is still a month of multiple celebrations. We are celebrating National Home Ownership Month, and we are still celebrating dads, among other things. And so we are pleased to welcome back someone who's kind of given us, you know, some pointers on how to keep those houses up and in good shape, especially with the challenges of higher costs of, you know, everything. Mr. John Robinson is back with us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm on here. Good afternoon.
Hey.
How's everyone?
Oh,
all
right.
Morning.
How you doing?
Still morning. I'm sorry. Doing well.
Dizzy as usual, right?
Yes, ma'am. I'm blessed as always.
Well, we thank you again for taking the time out with us. I really appreciate that. So, like I mentioned, it's National Home Ownership Month, but it's a challenge right now to try to keep our houses up and running, and even for the building of the new homes, because everything is up or out of sorts, you know, with cost of materials, home costs have gone up, worker shortages. How is that affecting you?
Well, right now we're having issues with materials. And it hasn't slowed my work down at all. People are still getting work done. Materials just went up. The stuff that we can find, and then people are having trouble. You know, they order stuff and it don't come in, and it's crazy because stuff that was normally like $6 is $30 now. So it's just like it's kind of crazy, and the cost definitely goes to the customer, because that's who has to pay the price, and also our prices are going up too because gas prices is skyrocketing, and it just filled up my work truck. It was $138 just to fill it up. So it's affecting us. It really is.
Man. Do you use diesel or regular gas? What do you use?
No, I use regular gas.
And oh, my gosh.
It's tearing me up.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. So let me ask you, with all of that, is it pushing your timelines back? You know, everybody is impatient.
Definitely.
They want that quick turnaround and stuff like that, especially with summer just around the corner, for sure. So. Let's say I come to you and I want, you know, I guess a bathroom or kitchen renovation. What are we looking at now for a timeline versus maybe, you know, before?
I used to be able to do it in about 2 to 3 weeks, but sometimes now I can go anywhere from a month to 2 months, just because of the demand. The demand to have it done has definitely skyrocketed. Now, people are still spending money, even though it costs a little bit more. They're still spending money.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, because if it needs to be done, it needs to be done. You know, and if they've kind of planned for it, but they didn't plan for this escalation in terms of prices or the timeline, that may, you know,
right.
that may be a little bit of a hassle for them. But if it was like already in the plans, already in works, and it still needs to be done, then, you know, unfortunately, a lot of folks don't have any choices out there. So what's the biggest demand right now for you?
Bathroom and kitchen renovations.
Okay, yeah.
That's pretty much what everybody's trying to get done, is
mm-hmm.
bathrooms and the kitchens.
Okay. So nothing with the outdoor spaces, huh? I guess I just would have thought
they
would have been.
We got a couple of gazebos. Gazebo and fencing have come up.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I've been thinking myself about doing a pergola in an area in my
mm-hmm.
backyard. You know,
yeah, I haven't
so.
Did a pergola in a while.
Okay, are they no longer popular, or what is it? The materials thing, you know, because that usually those require a lot of wood.
Well, I mean, it's less wood than a gazebo.
Right. Right.
But most people, the only thing they're thinking is, oh, I want a covering. And with the pergola,
mm-hmm.
they're feeling like they're not going to get that protection because the pergola is still open. But it does,
yeah.
it provides a beautiful look, a very
mm-hmm.
classy look to the house. And it does provide shade. But realistically, if the sun is right over you, it's not
mm-hmm.
going to provide shade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I've seen some in, let's say, places like, I want to say, Sam's or Old Time Pottery, where they have, and it's not like the wood pergola, it's kind of like a metal one, but it has like
mm-hmm.
a shade that you can kind of pull over to one side or another or over the top, I guess so.
Right.
And then also, too, I guess maybe, and I'm not certain, it provides a little bit of protection from, you know, some raindrops. I mean, if it's a storm, you're not going to get any kind of protection. But, you know, just if you get a sprinkle or something like that, it'll maybe hang out and
yes,
not
ma'am.
Necessarily get wet. So you mentioned the gazebo. So what average cost for something like that right now, a gazebo?
Ooh, I have no idea.
Okay.
Because the prices of wood has skyrocketed. So
mm-hmm.
For me to even give you a quote, it probably would be absolutely wrong.
Okay.
I know what we used to charge, but like I said, like the best example I can use is like the wood that was used to cover up windows.
Mm-hmm.
Like during hurricane season,
that
cheap wood that used to be $9 is upwards of $30 to $40 now, and in some states it was actually up to $75 from $9 to that high. So the wood
mm.
costs definitely skyrocketed.
Astronomical. Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you, too, about what is the best kind of wood for outdoors? I mean, I've heard different things like cedar and whatnot. If you're creating, like, let's say, a deck or a pergola or a gazebo or any
mm-hmm.
wood feature, where are you getting the most bang for your buck? What type of wood and why?
Well, I would definitely recommend cedar.
Mm-hmm.
Cedar is a lighter wood and it lasts longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's very it's very porous. So
mm-hmm.
that means that it's lighter to handle and installing, and I really feel like it really looks nice.
Okay.
But I like using cedar because of how light it is. But you can use the pressure treated 2x6 or 2x8, or
mm-hmm.
the 4x4s or the 6x6s that are pressure treated. They're heavier, they're heavier to use, but they have a tendency of, like, when you have that pressure treated wood, once that pressure treated has gone, it has a tend to bend and contort, and I've seen more wood rot in pressure treated wood than I have in in more of the cedar wood. The cedar wood tends to last a whole lot longer, what I've seen.
Okay. And then I guess one of the things I'd be concerned about, and I don't know if you know anything about it, it's something that I guess I'd need to look into. One of the things I guess I would be concerned with about the pressure-treated wood is any of those chemicals that's in the wood, whether or not they'd be harmful if they were released via, you know, excessive rain or excessive heat, you know, anything that would be with you know, be emitted from that pressure-treated wood. So, but that's something I guess, like I said, I'll probably have to look into a little bit further. But that's just something that came across my mind just then. Anyway, I want to get back to what you were talking about in terms of the bathrooms and the kitchens being the main thing that you're working on right now. And I want to ask is, are islands still popular? Is that something that people are still asking for? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am, definitely. They're doing the islands with the open concept. So the islands actually, you can either put a sink in the middle of the island, you can put the stove in the middle of the island, or you can just have an island with a overhang of the marble granite or whatever kind of countertop you want to use. That is used to for seating. So it, like most people, they don't have dining room tables a lot anymore. So those islands is a place where you can come into the kitchen and sit down and enjoy the meal and get right back on up and keep it moving.
Yeah. I guess I'm a little old-fashioned. I still have a dining room table. I have a actual separate dining room. So I guess I'm a little old-fashioned because I'm thinking, I don't have, like, a large kitchen. I thought about reconfiguring it, but I still don't know if that would work. I have more of a galley kitchen with, like, a, I guess you could say, a breakfast nook or something off to the side. But I guess one of the things that when I hear about open concept and people gathering in the kitchen and all that kind of stuff, I think about a variety of things. I think about noise carrying over from various parts of the house. You know, if you're in the kitchen, you know, you're cooking, you're rattling dishes, whatever, may carry over. And if you've got people talking around the island, then that carries over into the family room possibly or other areas. And I guess, like I said, I'm a little old-fashioned when it comes to some of that. So we're still seeing a lot of the open concept. I wondered about that because of more during COVID, more people, I guess, staying together so that they didn't have to worry about, you know, transmitting some of the virus, you know, to too many different people. If everybody was in the same household, then, you know, they pretty much knew who was, you know, hanging out with who. But at the same time, you had a lot of those spaces where too many people were gathering in the house at the same time and not enough separation, my thinking. So what do you –
Yeah,
do
when,
you,
it comes, when it comes down – oh.
No, please go
I'm
ahead.
I'm sorry. When it comes down to family, you feel you let your guard down. But family members can transmit diseases and viruses just as easy as a stranger can. You just, like, your guard is down when you're around family. You just, they're more trustworthy than a stranger. But there's
you
been so many cases where families have come together and everybody got COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that the person intentionally brought COVID there, or some people just didn't know that they were sick and it was asymptomatic. And most people really can't pinpoint where it came from. You can only say, well, he was coughing. And the first one tested is the one who one who gave it to everybody. I mean, it was so many different theories about it, and it's still and it's still inconclusive of what people think about it. But all I can say is just be safe, maintain your distance to nobody's face talking, because you do, most people when they talk, they do have spit or droplets that come out of their mouth. And if you maintain a distance, you, I have been safe for the longest maintaining my distance from people, and just thank God that maybe I just haven't been around nobody that's infected. So I'm just thankful for that.
All right. Because I was going to ask you, you got a little sick too, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am. I caught COVID back in a year ago in April, and I actually was at a family function, and
wow.
Four adults and three children contracted it. I end up in the hospital with pneumonia in one of my lungs, and since then got back on track since then. But definitely what COVID does, it sets up your immune system. It weakens it. So I have to still be careful being around people with colds and things like that, because I'm just getting over bronchitis. And I'm a very healthy person. I normally don't hardly ever get sick. But since COVID, you know, everybody say you have the COVID cough. You know, you have a dry cough every once in a while. But I just stay safe and stay prayed up. But, yeah, it was an ordeal going through it. And just thank God I'm amongst the living, and I feel sorry for the people that succumbed to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're sounding strong, and I'm glad you know, being precautious, and you are better, hopefully no lingering effects for too long. But we're going to continue, but we're going to take a break right now. We're here with Mr. John Robinson. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good in entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Good morning, still. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're happy to have back Mr. John Robinson. And the number, if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. So earlier you mentioned something about, we were talking about kitchen renovations, I guess, and we were talking about countertops. Have countertops changed in terms of what people are looking for in their kitchen and why? And the reason I ask, because, you know, I know at one time it was granite, then it was quartz. I guess I just kind of want to know, where are people leaning and why, and what do you think is the better countertop for kitchen and bath?
Well, most people are leaning toward the granite and this new stuff that's out. Oh, man, it's evading me right now. But it only comes in, like, you can't burn it or anything like that or scratch it up. Man, I can't believe I can't remember the name of that stuff right now. But it'll
come back.
Yeah. But or it's a marbleless kind of, it isn't played out, but that's more of a high-end house. When people get marble put down. Now, I guess since HGTV has promoted this other stuff that's on countertops, and people tend to go with it. And it's sometimes a little bit more expensive than granite. Just depends on who you get it from. But granite looks nice. Granite, ma'am.
Is it like quartz?
Quartz. There it is.
No,
it is. It's quartz.
It is quartz. Okay, I was thinking it was something else.
It is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's quartz.
All right.
Yep.
So, but you know, I mean, I know that some of them are, let's say, not tolerant when it comes to heat. Like, for example, sitting a hot pot or something like that on there, which you kind of want to put something under that anyway. But I understand that some of them fare better than others.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, the quartz, you can pull it straight off the eye and set it on there, and it won't damage it. But on the granite, depends on how hot the pot is and how long you leave it sitting on there. If you put it on there and you leave it on there, subsequently it will darken up on you in that spot. That's if you leave it on there. If you take it off of the eye, off of the stove, and set it on the countertop, and then move it to somewhere else, of course you're not going to damage the countertop. But if it's left there for an extended amount of time, then that's when you end up having the rings from the bottom of the pots left on the countertop. And definitely if it's Formica or any of the cheap stuff, you're going to tear your countertop up for sure.
And there's really, I guess, no way of just scrubbing it out or repairing it. You actually replace the countertop, right?
Yeah, you have to replace the top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I know in some of those home shows, and I don't see that too much down here, but some of them use that butcher block top.
The butcher block. Yes, ma'am.
What are your thoughts about butcher block? Or do you use that much of it down here? Do you? Really?
I don't use it, but I love it. But it can be stained just like the regular countertop. It can get burned. So it's just wood.
Right. So. Right. But I was wondering though, because it's wood, is there something that you could do differently in terms of preserving it, like you would, let's say, old wood floors or other type of things, you know, or what type of? But I assume though it has a different type of finish, though, a protection.
To my knowledge, I haven't did any research on that.
Okay,
I would have to do some research on that and get back with you on that. I don't want to try to guess at it, but I haven't did
I
any kind of
you.
Homework on that.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
But you like it, so that's good.
Yes, ma'am. I think it looks really nice. Well, you know, I'm from Alabama, so I like the country feel anyway. So.
Yeah. And it's interesting how nowadays, though, people think that they want certain. One of the things I've noticed on some of these shows, people think they want a certain thing. And then when you start asking them questions, they really don't know. And some of them just kind of like a little bit of everything right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
well, always
you know,
simple is better.
Simple is better.
Yeah, simple.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So anyway, are we seeing anything different, like colors or different types of tile or other types of design changes that you're seeing, or something more popular than others?
A lot more grays, like light grays. I've seen some go with some dark grays, but mostly light grays and the white tile with the marble crack. Look like it's going through it. I've seen a lot of that. Most people are going with that. I've done houses for this one company, and they like to keep stuff consistent. They want to use the same concept in all the houses. The light gray paint on the outside, with a little bit darker trim and either quartz countertops or very rarely they put granite. But if you use granite, they want to use a granite with a lighter look with a lot more white and grays in it so that they can use either brown or the tiles for the floor. But as far as the tile, that white tile that looks like it has a crackle that's going through it. I see that all the time. And every shower that they want done, they want it done in that type of tile.
Do you think it's because people have been kind of sold on it through the home improvement shows, or also because it's, I guess, the new neutral? It's not beige, but it's still the new neutral where you can kind of play a lot of different things off of it, or you don't have to worry. Maybe it's a less the thing in terms of less maintenance. Why do you think the grays are the thing?
I think because you can play it. It's a neutral color, and you can pretty much put anything around it. If most neutral colors are good to go with any kind of reds, grays, blues, greens, orange, yellows, any kind of color really goes with a neutral. Even white and black go with neutral. So,
right.
It's a warm color, a very inviting color, and that's what a lot of people starting to use these days. It's those warm colors that are inviting.
Okay, all right. And so now, are we seeing in terms of the average bathroom cost and the average kitchen cost? I know at one point I think I was hearing $8,000 more or less for a bathroom, and you know, the $20,000 more or less for a kitchen. Is that kind of where things are staying, or what's the new average? What's the new expectation?
It just depends on how big your bathroom is. It depends on the material that you use. I can definitely say $3,000 or more on those bathrooms, because you can get stuff that's more cost effective to you, more cost effective to use. But when you get the cheaper stuff or cost effective, you have imperfections. It's like going to buy something at Ross, and you look at your pants leg, and one pants leg is a little bit longer than the other because it's one of them irregular. So with that type of tile, you have more probabilities of having mistakes and stuff in that type of tile. So I would say if you're gonna do this for long term, go ahead and get what you like, and kind of bite the bullet on your cost, because you want to be able to look at it every day. And then depending on whoever does the work for you, it depends on their skill level and making that and being able to hide stuff, because every time we do something, there's an imperfection in something. There's an imperfection in the wall. There's an imperfection in the floor. Nothing is perfect, but you try to make it look as best you can so that the client is happy.
Right. Okay, all right. We're going to take our next break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Mr. Robinson a little bit about fatherhood. This is the month of dads. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-2255.
562-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Mr. John Robinson. We've been talking a little bit about upkeep and maintenance and renovation for our homes. It is National Homeownership Month, but it is also Father's Day this month, and I wanted to talk to you about being a father. Can you tell me a little bit about your life as a dad?
That's a big conversation for not enough time to share, but I would do my best.
All right.
Yeah. So as a father, as a African American father, we deal with so much, but we still remain faithful in the things that we do. I can't talk about anybody else. I can only talk about myself.
Right.
I know there are challenges that I've had in my life that I've tried so much to get past. Some stuff you just can't get past because there's people that they're always trying to look at you negatively or hold you back from being the greatest that you are. You just keep pushing forward. You never quit, because if you quit, then that means you quit trying. So you always keep trying. But as a father, and I guess I would say on a single household and also a married household, the job is still the same. You still have to show love, affection, caring, and optimism. You have to have to work with people. You have to sacrifice. There's so many things you have to do in order to be a great father. And also, to have good fathers around you makes it even better. That's iron sharpened iron, the Bible says. Different groups of people that you're around give off good energy, and they give off positivity. And if you're around people that don't do anything, then more than likely you'll end up being lazy about what you do, or you may be somewhere doing your stuff on your own. But when you see other people doing things around you, that prompts you to do things too and to do things together. And I am thankful that I am a father of three children and three more hopefully soon. And I just thank God for being able to nurture into them, even kids that are not even my kids, being able to feed into their life, being able to give them something and watch it manifest to greatness, because we don't have those grandfathers from back in the day to talk to. And most people that you talk to today don't even know, because they didn't have anybody to teach them. So in order to become a greater father and a greater man at that, you have to practice at it. There's no way you can come out doing everything perfect. Nobody's perfect but God. So I say out there to the fathers, stay encouraged. Keep your head up. Don't let them see you cry, because it's okay to cry. And let me take that back. You can let them see you cry. Because you don't have to go with what the norm. People say if a man cry, that means they're weak. No, that means they're being vulnerable at that time, and they have feelings too. Because you never want a man that does not have any kind of emotions or not sensitive to the needs of others. You want someone that can cater to the needs of everyone, not just one person. Children that are not theirs, they can be role models to other fathers. They can be role models to other women and other kids. And people always want something to look up to. And why not be one of those people to look up to? Being a God-fearing man, I just thank God for him keeping me where I am, and definitely being in the season that I am is a great season.
now, how you say you have three kids, girls, boys, what do you have?
I have two boys and a girl. I have a 10-year-old daughter. I have a 13-year-old boy, and I have a 21-year-old boy. And my fiance has a 13-year-old boy, a 17-year-old young man, and a 22 young man.
So who do you worry about more, the girl or the boy?
It's not necessarily, I worry about all of them.
Right.
Because neither one, they always feel like boys are self-sufficient. But that's not necessarily the way the world is now. We're given so much bad information where kids, they can't even make a decision if they want to be a boy or a girl these days. It's just so much bad information out there. Kids want to be their friend, their parents' best friend. And I that's just not the way that I was brought up. It may be the way other people are brought up, but me, I've seen so many things go sideways when you have a child or a young adult looking at you and not realizing the severity of this really is your mother, this really is your father. You can't just say anything to them because the Bible says that being respectful to your parents definitely can control the days of your life. And I just pray that if the kid is not learning it at home, he's learning it somewhere in the community, because we have great people out there that are teaching how to be good parents, how to be good friends, and how to be good gentlemen, ladies. But it's time consuming trying to find those people, but they're out there, and I just pray that God keeps doing the things that he's doing, and we can all move forward from that, and just so that we are.
I'm going to go back to something you said. I'm going to ask you something, because I think you are God-fearing me, and I think you'd be straight with me.
Yes,
ma'am. You mentioned about the whole thing with children trying to decide whether they're a girl or a boy. I'm thinking that that's not one of those decisions that they should be deciding on their own. I think that's a parental decision.
You're
right now.
You're opening up a can of worms.
Yeah, I'm going to open up a can of worms. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, being a parent to me requires, sometimes making the decision that may not be the popular decision, but it's the decision that you make as a parent. And then when that child gets to be of age, when they get to be an adult, then they make some of those more serious decisions themselves. And especially if you are a Christian person, I think there's not guidelines per se. I mean, people want to kind of think of them as guidelines, but there are commandments. There are things that you follow.
Right.
There are commandments.
Absolutely.
There are beatitudes and all that type of stuff.
Absolutely.
Can you give me your opinion about that?
My take? Well, yes.
Yeah.
I would say that I'm in concurrence with what you're saying. You don't necessarily I won't even put the biblical spin on it because everybody has went to church and they understand what the Bible says and what God wants you to be. What has happened is adults have seem like they're trying to take a back seat in children's lives and letting them grow to be whatever they want to be, not giving them direction. I really feel like we have to mold our children into great people. Even if we were unable to get to where we wanted to be, provide those children with other avenues that you were unable to have. I have never felt good about making a decision on letting a child make an adult decision. It's like giving a keys to a it's like giving a keys to a car to a two-year-old. You may know how to crank the car, but with experience and age, you're able to drive that car and be safe on the road. And don't get me wrong, there are some older people out here can't drive. But the point of the matter is the responsibility of an adult is not to be held for a child. Being purposely driven is what I say for everybody. That I do not agree with the fact of letting a child determine what that child wants to be. That's just the way I feel. I don't knock anybody from the way that they feel. I can agree to disagree about so many things, but that's one of the things you feel like. Give your child a chance to be a child and to enjoy what God made them to be, not something society is showing them. Well, right now they have this trend that's going around where you don't have to say what you are. You don't have to say if you're a boy or a girl, and you can just be this just ambidextrous entity. But we understand biblically that whatever God has created, the devil is trying to manipulate and destroy. So man is made in the likeness of God, and the devil is doing all that he can to change those things that what God has made perfect.
So I'm really glad. It's just nice to hear, because I just really think that one of the things that's missing from our society right now is more prevalence in terms of people of faith speaking up and just being having the courage of their convictions, so to speak. You know, a lot of people, they may not agree, but they won't speak up and say, I disagree, because, you know, they don't want to be looked at as being odd.
Ostracized.
Yeah, or ostracized, right. But, I mean, if you think about it, you know, Jesus was, you know, not always popular, you know. You know, he had issues, the scribes and Pharisees had issues with him. You know, it's a matter of choosing to be strong and standing by what you believe in, I think, you know, so.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I want to ask you, too, about with the rise in gun violence, especially in the schools. When you heard about what happened in Texas, think, how did you feel? Did you want to hug your children tighter? Tell me a little bit.
Well, my take on that, of course, I cannot leave out the shooting up in Buffalo.
Right.
Which Miss Pearl Young, which is a part of my family, is part of my family. I just say that. And for these children that were pretty much just slaughtered, and there's been several children. I mean, just single shootings, not just a whole multitude of them. I want to cover all of that. How I feel is there's nothing wrong with a gun. A gun can't pick itself up and it can't shoot itself. Even an automatic weapon still has to have someone to pull the trigger or some kind of mechanism to make it work. It's just like a car, just like a motorcycle. They say motorcycles kill, but it takes a person to drive those things in order for those things to happen. I feel like legislative laws that are out right now, a lot of government, they are not cracking down on people getting tested for mental stability when they're allowing them to get these firearms. Don't get me wrong, some people can get firearms because of people they know. Their parents may have a gun, and the kid may get a hold to the gun. It may even be the adult making these decisions when they got a gun. But I really feel like they need to put things in more of a realistic feel. If you have to overprotect your children, if you have to overprotect your senior citizens, so be it. Do it, because those are the targets that people are targeting simply because they feel like they're vulnerable. And anybody that kills an unarmed person or decides to do mass shooting on people that are vulnerable, they're cowards. There's no other way to look at it. They're cowards, and they're devil-possessed. And I feel very, very deeply about that. I don't want it to happen to nobody that I know, a family member, or even a friend. I know life happens, but people worried about forcing everybody to get vaccinated. But still, you got people out here killing people every day, and you're not doing anything to cause it. And that's a fight that so many people would want to go up against me on and saying, okay, we're talking about the whole nation dying from this disease. The whole nation did not die. And people are still out here killing people. Police, and they say it's because of lack of training. It's not lack of training, but the same way you can capture somebody that has killed people and you don't do anything to them, but you see somebody got their hands up and you still shoot them. When it comes to things like that, I'm very passionate about that, and I probably need to just woosah because I don't want to get ramped up about something I can't control it, but I can pray about it. Prayer definitely changes things. But also, the Bible says faith without works is dead. We still have to do something. We can't sit around and pray and fast about things and don't do anything. You have to get up and do things about it. I don't have the answers of how it can be fixed, but I know some changes need to be made. Because these kids are posting this stuff on social media, ma'am.
No, I'm going to have an idea by you and see what your take is on it, because I've mentioned this before. And that is, I think that in the schools where they're so busy trying to teach sex education, where they're so busy now thinking about trying to train teachers how to be armed and shoot weapons, where, you know, the mental health conversation is just now kind of starting up. And so maybe there needs to be more done in the schools with mental health. But also, I think that there needs to be something. I keep saying, and I don't necessarily need to, that it be religion back in the schools, but I think there needs to be some sort of teaching in the schools about having a moral compass, how to value your own life as well as value other people's lives, some sort of something that has some sort of spiritual teaching or moral teaching in it. So that, because I think part of what's the component that's missing that allows these young people to just run rampant and adopt these ideologies and write these 180-page memorandums or whatever. I think part of what's missing is the inefficient or lack of formation of their moral compass. So I think there needs to be something that goes back into the schools as well. I feel like if you think it's so important to teach sex education, I think you also should think it's important to teach, I don't know what you would call it, but let's say
moral and behavior
moral standards. Responsibility.
Yeah.
Something like, yeah, moral responsibility or something like that. What are your thoughts?
I totally agree with what you, totally agree with what you're saying. And also, what did I have on the top of my head? Tell me, it evaded me that quick. the moral standards and they already have the, like, the parental guidance on video games and things like that. Technology is so big that it's out of what we can even fathom what it's doing. But I think because of these kids, I'm not going to say I think. I know these movies with all of this violence in it, when they see violence for the first time, they may be shocked for just a little while, but they don't have the fear that as children that someone of my age or someone older has had. Because I remember back in the day, even coming past a church, you would turn your music down. You wouldn't even dare play the music in the church parking lot. The respect for the church to me is almost non-existent at some point. It's just now they twerking in churches, they playing all kind of ungodly music in churches. They're taking the ungodly music and making it into church music. So
yeah,
we already know what Satan is. He was the minister of music, and a lot of things are transferred through music. I feel like our churches have gone so far away from old traditions because they're trying to keep up with what's going on right now in the world, and I think that has definitely has put a crucial blow on the community, on families, on people's people's mindset. I saw a little clip yesterday of a teacher interviewing a little kid. He couldn't be no more than about 5 or 6 years old. And this kid was literally saying, I enjoy or I really want to kill somebody. And it just blew my mind that this little kid, he was comfortable in what he was saying. He was like, oh, yeah. I just can't wait till I can kill somebody. I really want to kill somebody. And it was just mind-blowing, but we have to understand that stuff is taught, whether it's taught by your parent or taught by a friend or it's taught by things that they see on television. And I think the filter has been taken off of so many things, and that's why the world is the way that it is today. Is because it has no filter.
I was going to say, do you think it's just not realizing what killing someone actually means, not realizing the permanency that is? And do you think it's just that? The other thing, too, you were talking about things that when we grew up and things that we saw on TV, I think also, too, one of the things that used to happen is, at least in my case anyway, the parents used to help kids process whatever they saw on television.
Right.
Now, pretty much the television is the babysitter. So I just wonder, you know, is it that maybe some of us are not doing an effective enough job, you know, as parents? Or do you think
it's
that
a little bit all,
there's so
it's
many
a little
other
bit
things?
All of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so now if you had to give some advice to a new parent, a young parent out there, just based on your experiences coming up, your experiences rearing your children, what would be the main thing that you would like to share with a new father?
What I would share is take your time, let the children be kids. Keep them away from media, social media. There are good things on social media, but majority of things are negative. There are things that television, I call it the tell lie vision. It tells lies to your vision. And I think that parents have to recognize when something is going on with your children. You have to keep them safe. If someone is saying you're being overbearing with your kids, hey, I think it's a little bit okay about being overbearing, but you still have to be understanding. Because we want all our kids safe. We don't want nothing to happen to them. We want to enjoy them all the days of their life. And we pray that life can treat them just as well as it has treated us. Say that. Just be careful with your children. Love them day and night. Pray for them. Pray with them. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to recognize things around them, not to be oblivious to be out having fun, but be oblivious of things going on around. They're snatching kids left and right. Every day, every hour, they snatching kids. It's a well-organized system. So I just ask anybody that's listening, just be safe and keep your children safe.
And so the other thing I want to ask before you go, although you apparently are very, very busy, how do people get in touch with you if they want to get that bathroom or kitchen remodeled or even do that pergola or gazebo outside?
Yes, ma'am. My number is 1-800-793-0843. 1-800-793-0843. And if that was too fast for you, just call your host, and she'll be more than glad to give you my number.
Yes, indeed. And the name of the company?
Yes, ma'am. It's Robinson Works and Graphics right now. I'm actually waiting on a name change to come from Tallahassee, and it's going to be called J.L. Robinson's Renovation. So I'm just waiting on my EIN number, and I'll be changing the name of the company because of branding purposes so that I can pick up even more work and employ more people.
Sounds like a good plan. Mr. Robinson, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you back. And God bless
ma'am.
You. Stay safe. Be well. Stay strong. Because I know that COVID has lingering effects, but we hope that it won't touch you. So just God bless you and have a blessed day.
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. God willing, talk to you tomorrow. Be well, be safe, be blessed. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.